In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we have come before the face of God to hear and speak of the Word of God, to get refreshment to our faith, and to learn and hear what God, who knows us all, our hearts and our lives, what He has to say, what He has to speak unto us. We have received we have been asked a prayer of intercession for a certain family that God would give them power to stay in faith, and because of their child was given up faith, that God would call her with His grace and gospel back to His kingdom. So we shall begin our services praying.
Dear Heavenly Father, You are Almighty, all-knowing God who has created all that we see. You have given us the gift of life, and You have brought us this evening to hear Your word. Dear Father, we pray first on behalf of this family that You would encourage them through Your gospel, through Your great promises, that they wouldn't look upon their own hearts and their own weakness, but that they could put their trust and hope into Your power, which is immense. Dear Father, call that their child, whom the enemy of the soul has been able to lead astray using the power of sin. Give room for the word of grace and for the power of the gospel. Dear Father, we have come this evening to read and hear Your word. Our power is weak, and our understanding is small, but You have everything. And therefore we humbly ask that You would open Your word so that we can hear and receive something for our souls, because we are sinful. We are tempted by sin. We have trials every day. And the powers of sin and the enemy of the soul of this world come so close to us. We are like lambs which have been sent into the amongst wolves. We are in constant danger. Please help us. Open our ears to hear and our hearts to understand. Open Your word. Because if You don't open, we must go away poor and empty. The grace and the glory and the majesty be unto your name now and forever. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, it's my great joy to be amongst you. There are many personal friends and many more who know me and whom I'm sorry to admit that I don't know the names. Familiar faces are many, but I don't know all the names. But through faith and through spirit, we know one another. It's so good to be here. It was 20 years ago when I was here for the first time. And when I came to the church, and I felt the love and the unity and the spirit being the same. You know how it goes. You have heard. I have heard from the brothers that we believe in the same way. We have the same love and same hope and same spirit. But well, when I felt it for the first time, I felt so warm. And that's what I feel also now. So good to be here. And many brothers and sisters sent their greetings. Many have been here whom you know personally and by names and by faces and by hearts. They wanted their greetings to be set here. And now if God so wills and opens, we will pass around the word which I read from Genesis 27, verse 38. And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Esau was about 40 years old man, a married man, and the story of Jacob and Esau is a hard one for us, because when we look at the story, it seems quite clear who is wrong and who is right. But the Spirit and the other Word of God says it's not so, but it's other way around. So it looks like Jacob did wrong. Jacob took a place which did not belong to him. It even looks or seems to us that when he saw I'm Esau, your oldest son, he lied straight, clear, boldly to his father. That's how it looks like. And I heard the once an old speaker brother was asked that how was it matter of Esau and Jacob? I feel so hard to understand that which one was right? The old speaker brother had said that I agree with God. And then he started reading what the Word of God says. And I think that it's good for us also to agree with God. So if we start looking at Jacob Jacob and Esau, with the carnal mind, with our human understanding, how it looks like, how it seems, how it feels like, how it shouldn't be. We err, we go wrong. Because Jacob was Jacob, but he said, I'm Esau. Much had happened before this. They were over 40 years old men, both Jacob and Esau. They were twins. Much had happened before they were born, even. It is said that before they were born, the mother was pregnant, expecting the twins. The twins battled in her womb so badly, so hard, that she thought that they died. It said in the Bible that the mother asked, if it had to happen so, why were I conceived? And she was given a prediction. That there are two nations in your womb, the two different nations, which if I find it, I'll read it. Now the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. The mother received these words before the children were born. So the mother knew what will happen before it happened. Doesn't it sound familiar? The Word of God oftentimes spoke the matters before they happened. Let's take one example. When Joseph was taken into Egypt, and Jacob was at home, and when Joseph showed himself of his brothers and asked them to go and fetch all Jacob and his family to Egypt. And when they came to Jacob and told the story to him of Joseph, he got the Word of God. And the Word of God God explained him or predicted him that your nation, your family will be in Egypt over 400 years, and they will come back. So before old Jacob went to Egypt, he knew that one day they will all go away, come back to the promised land. So that's very common in the Bible. Oftentimes we see that God has spoken beforehand through the prophets, and through his son. So we although we feel that we don't see clear, we don't see openly, our mind is weak, our understanding is small, and we are so carnal. We so easily attach into this world. We are prone to think in man's way. Still, we know what's going to happen. We are not in a fog. There's a hymn in the Finnish Bible. I don't know if it's been translated, which says that, oh, those poems are so hard. It's just, let me try. Okay, somebody else. Synnin sumu sielun peittää. Fog of sin covers my soul. Fog of sin. So the sin is like fog. If a person starts living in sin, It's like fog appears around the person. And we know what fog is. We cannot see clear. Once I go to work on the highway, and there's not a very heavy fog, but loud enough that I had to reduce speed a little. And I started thinking, I'm not often tied to this kind of thoughts, but that happened to be that I remember this hymn, this very hymn, how sin affects. And I thought that what happens in the fog? You know, I could quite easily drive because the road opened before me. But on the back, it disappeared. But I could see where the road was, so I could drive. And so I thought that what are the consequences of that of fog? And then I found at least one matter. I didn't see where I was going to. I saw the route. I saw the way for a certain length, but not far. I didn't see the goal. And I think that's one important thing. What happens also if sin rule in a person's life? You know, the fog appears, and then you don't see the goal. Boys and girls, little boys and girls, why are we believing? Have you ever been asked in day circle or Sunday school, why do we believe? What's the reason why we believe? Because it's so fun? No. But so that one day we would go to heaven. I think you haven't thought that many times, but it seems that we tend to forget it. We also, as big ones, as ours, we tend to forget why we believe. We are going to heaven. Our hope is not in this life. Although it's good to be a believer. It's a good lot to be a believer in this time also. This faith protects us of so many dangerous things which harm people's lives. The freedom, the so-called freedom, which is outside the kingdom of God, is a trap. You start living that freedom. You start enjoying that freedom, and you may enjoy it for a while, for a moment. For a certain time, it feels good. It feels that now, this is a freedom. This is free, like nobody does what I can do. Now I can be what I want to. That's a trap. One day, it happens so that the sin kind of rots. It's good feelings, and the juice goes away. And then comes all those consequences. You have lost faith. You have lost hope. My brother, who lost his faith 20, 30 years ago, he said that after that, he said openly, that after that I have not had good friends. And that's true. Well, there are good people in the world. I'm not saying that. There are nice people in the world, very nice, trustworthy, very good lives, decent people, but still, it's so different. It's so very different. And the bond of the Spirit, it goes, it's like the peace of God, of which God, the Word of God says, it goes beyond all human understanding. The peace of God is different from any other peace. If there is peace in the world, or some people have peace in the world, that's faith. It's human peace. Paul said of himself that when he persecuted the believers, he did it with good conscience. It didn't bother him. He felt good. When he was asked, "How are you?" he said, "Fine, just fine. No problems." He had peace. But that peace is different from our peace. This goes over all human understanding. It is much more than that peace or trust or hope which even a good life can give in this world. And Esau had lost this. He had lost his childhood faith. When Bible describes these brothers, there's a big difference. Even when they were small, young, the Bible says that Jacob stayed at home. He was a home boy. And Esau, he didn't want to stay at home. His feet burned. He had to go. And I understand so simply that during these trips, sin attached. He saw that which he shouldn't have seen. There's a children's song, I don't know if that has been either translated, which says that little eyes don't look at every direction. Do not look every matter. It's not good to look at everything. We see a lot which is against our faith, which is against good conscience. And it is not good to look at them. So the battle is not outside us, but it's inside. Last year, I had a chance to go to one school to speak or tell the students. They were 60-year-old students, and I spoke to them of conservative libertarianism, what we are. I had a laptop computer and a data projector when I went there, and I said that I would not like to show pictures or slides of our services and or organizational charts and this and that. But I would hope merely that you would make questions. Be free and ask. Whatever you want to ask, be free to ask. I don't know if I can answer. But I try. I try my best. And they started making questions. And God helped me so that they made so good questions. They were honest young people who wanted to know. They had heard a lot. Many kinds of interesting stories, what we are. And they wanted to know. So they asked, what's the difference between you and other Lutherans? You know, that's the situation. What's the difference between you and other Lutherans? They knew that other Lutherans are one group and we are the other. And I tried to say, I just made a list. I said that I'll make a short list. And then they started making questions. So what's wrong with television? And I again made a short list. And then they asked,
when one of the soloists again was versus rock music, they said, what's wrong with rock music? I said, it's spirit. It's more than noise or voice or singing. It's spirit. And they said, okay. No one said a word against. And then one girl said that, so how is it so that if somebody takes a film from internet, downloads it to the computer and starts looking from the computer, what's the difference? Well, what's the difference? I said, there is no difference. It's the same thing. It's no different if you download it through internet or look from television. What's the difference? And they said, that's right. And then one girl asked me that, so have you ever felt a temptation to do something what's wrong? How would you say? I said that I have not only felt the temptation, but I've done so much evil. And then they, you know, I was supposed to be a believer. And I am a believer. And that's what the believers are. I tried to say to them that there are nothing but sinners in this world. That's why I'm a believer, because I'm a sinner. If I had not sinned, I wouldn't need to believe them forgiven. I wouldn't need to believe. So, it continued. Then the same girl asked, so what do you do when or after you do something what you shouldn't do? And I said to them many times that you do good questions. And then I explained them. I explained them in detail. That normally, I go to my wife. She is the closest help which God has given to me. I go with her, and I tell her what's happened to me. When I was a young married man, my wife always saw through me. When I came home and I had defied conscience, she says, what's wrong with you? And I thought that why cannot I hide myself from my wife? But now I thank it. I thank God, because it's been my support. It's been my very best help. That's how God has preserved me in my faith. I'm a sinner, and I have needed much forgiveness. And so I told the girl that I go to my wife and I tell her what's happened to me, and I ask, can you please forgive me? And then I said that she forgives me in the name and life of Jesus. And then I said that God in heaven says amen and wipes away the sin. The sin disappears. The pain goes away, and I'm free again. So that kind of questions they made. It was a nice discussion. I packed the laptop, but I didn't use it at all. And we talked 10 minutes over due time. That's what happens to me oftentimes, maybe also this evening. So, that's the power of sin. The power of sin is the second biggest power in the world. It's so big that we shouldn't belittle it. The Word of God says that no one can take hot coals without burning himself. We cannot keep hot coals in our hands without burning our hands. That's the truth. So, Esau was not a believer anymore.
he had lived such a life that Rebecca said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. Namely, those daughters of Heth were Esau's wives. Esau had several wives. That was the culture of that time. That was not in itself wrong, I suppose. That was the culture of that time. That was the way of that time. Jacob himself had four wives. But they were unbelievers. And that was wrong. It is so clear of the Word of God that the believer can never, with good conscience, take an unbelieving spouse. It's impossible. How can you mix light and darkness? How can you mix water and fire? It's impossible. In Finland, the ladies make tiger cake. There is black and white together, and they mix it. Not very much. So it's black and white from inside. But you cannot mix light and darkness. When the light comes, the darkness disappears. When the light disappears, darkness comes. That's unavoidable. If you have fire and you put water upon, you know what happens. Even your kids know what happens when you put water upon the coals or fire. It disappears. They don't fit together. And then Rebecca said, if Jacob take the wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do? What good shall my life do me? So that the life of Esau, what had made his mother's life very hard. So we see and understand that was wrong. But Esau didn't see it. If we try to go to our text, it says, cast thou but one blessing, my father. Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Esau had an understanding of this matter. But that was wrong understanding, misunderstanding. And that's very different from true, correct understanding. It's dangerous if a person does not understand that he does not understand. If a person understands that I don't understand, that's could we say it's the beginning of wisdom. It's a start of light. The person can see light. But if a person does not understand that he does not understand, he's in total darkness. There's no need of help. There is no need of change. He thinks that's fine. Everything is fine. He thinks everything is in good order. There's no need of change. Repentance is the change of mind, isn't it? If a person repents, it is a change of mind. Ah, we. No matter if it's an unbelieving person or a believer, it's a change of mind. I don't want to do that. I want to do as I know is right. I want to give that up. I don't want to do it again. God, please, dear Heavenly Father, help me that I would not bow unto it again anymore. I don't want to do it. Because I know it's wrong, and that separates me from God. What was the first command? God said, I am, something like this, I am Lord of thy God who brought you away from Egypt. Keep no other gods before me. So, if I am before God, and God says, keep no other God before me, where are those other gods, those other matters, from my point of view, if they are before God? They are they, between me and the God. They are in between there. So they separate me from God. And God is a jealous God. He wants to be number one. I said to my wife that you are number two. No matter, that's so. And it must be so. Not even a spouse can be so, dear, or should be. Although, it's best. You know what we can say it's the best gift that of those earthly gifts that one can have. It is not the most important thing in life. That's faith. And now here, Esau came to the father who had blessed Jacob. That Jacob whom the mother had prepared to go before the father. And I understand very simply that this story of Jacob and Esau speaks of the last day, of the judgment day. And in Esau, we see two pictures. And in Rebekah, we see two pictures. And as you know, if you had an overhead projector, and you put two overheads at the same time, they disturb one another, so that they you don't know really what there is. You must look at those pictures separately to find what they are. You cannot put them together. And in Isaac, we see God as Heavenly Father on the last day. And Jacob is a child of God before the God in the last judgment day. So, when we, children of God, go to the judgment seat on the last day, there before us is a blind father who does not see us as we are. We are Jacob's, aren't we? Sinners. But when we go there, we're being asked, who are you? And we say, I am Esau. Although I am Jacob, I'm Esau. I am a sinner, but I'm a righteous, pure, sinless child. And the blind God, he does not see us as we are. He tries us and he feels the skin of the sheep. And when we come close to him, he smells the smell of the clothes that Rebekah, the congregation mother, has put upon us. He doesn't see us as we are. Isn't it good?
He only touches us. He hears us. And he smells us, but does not see us as we are. And we please him. We are fake Jesus. Not real. But good enough to please him. And that's because of Rebecca, the congregation mother, prepared Jacob to go before Esau. She put the robe upon himself. They were 40 years old man. How did it feel like if your mother clothes you every morning? Doesn't feel very natural. That's how it happened. When Jacob went to meet his father, Rebecca put him the clothes on. Rebecca made the food. The mother made her ready. The congregation, this holy throng here upon earth, kingdom of God, and the believers, they are a gift of God to us. They help us. This is the kingdom where is the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, the words of consolation and grace. And so, Jacob was blessed. And then came Esau, thinking that he had done everything as he had to. He had prepared himself what was needed. He came with his own works, thinking that everything is as it needs to be. He didn't know that he was wrong. And I think that's the saddest part of this whole story. That he did not know. When he went there, he was quite sure. Jacob was weak and doubting and fearful, thinking that he knows me. How can I go? If Rebecca said, go. Be obedient to my voice. Didn't she say, be only obedient to my voice, my son. And that's one thing. That's one important thing. Obedience does not mean that we have to understand. Isn't it so? To be obedient does not mean that I understand. But it means that I listen to. If you don't see, you can listen. If somebody lives in such a life situation that the thought of sin surrounds, then he or she cannot see. Still, he or she can hear. And that's important. If you don't know, if you don't see, if you don't understand, you still can hear. Be only obedient to my voice, said Rachel, said mother. And that is what saved Jacob. He was obedient. He listened to. He did what he was said, although he didn't understand, although he feared. There he went, fearing that he would be sent away. And he was blessed. And then came the elder brother, being sure that I will please my father. And he was rejected. It's spoken in Hebrews. That's one portion of the Bible which is that old speaker read. It says here, Hebrews 12:16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright.
For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He tried his best, but it was not enough. He was rejected. So that can also happen. It says in John that there were some of the highest Jews who believed upon him, but Jesus did not did not trust himself to them because he knew them by their heart. And no one had to explain how their heart was. He knew them. So people believed on Jesus, but Jesus did not trust himself unto them. Why? Believing is not only believing. Believing does not mean that I believe what has happened, that it is true. It is not only keeping it true. With that kind of faith, we are not in a very good company. It says in Jacob that you believe that Bibles are true. That is well done. The devils also do so and tremble. We are not in a good company with that faith. The inner of the soul believes into the Word of God. The believing is not that we think or keep that is true. It's not enough. What is believing then? How would you say? Isn't it asking and hoping that please, dear Father, help me. If you don't help me, I'll drown. I cannot live. I cannot believe without your help. We need God's constant help. We need His grace. We need His power. Our power is so small. It's so small that it shouldn't be called power. We remember what happened to Peter. He was an old speaker, brother. He had lived with Jesus for 3 years. He had been cooked many times in hot water. You know, he had fought for the Word of God for years. He had spoken on the matters of faith for many years. He was a tried man, but when he decided to follow Jesus with his own power, you remember what happened. It was a young girl, young servant. I suppose, I don't know for sure, but I think that she was well under 20. A young girl. And she didn't ask. She just stated that you were also in Jesus, one of his followers. She didn't ask, really. She just said that you were one of them. So, it wasn't a question. He could have been silent, and they were fine. If he didn't say anything, that was positive. He could have said, But he couldn't do even that. He denied. He said, I was not. So that's what we can do with our own power. We can deny our faith. And that's it. Without the help of God, we are lost. So what do we learn of our text? I would like to say, dear brothers and sisters, let us fear sin. The power of sin is much greater
than we can even think. Let us fear sin. So what should we do if sin attaches? When it attaches? We should believe our sins forgiven. So what is then confession? If I can use a few minutes. What is confession? I was selling an old car. And I know that it's not easy to sell a used car. You're not in a good shape. And I was selling it to a believing brother, and he was willing to pay very little. I hoped a lot more, but that was it. And I know that it is not easy to sell a used car. And I wanted to tell him what were the flaws in the car, or faults. Yeah. So I told him, I explained as much as I could remember. I have even a kind of mind of prayer that I would like to do that, that it should be done. But I forgot one thing. The driver's door, but the other door, the lock was broken. I forgot it. And so we decided the money and when I was bringing the car to him, then I remembered the lock. But the always eager helper, the enemy of the soul, said to me that don't tell it. If you say it, he may say that I don't want to have it. And so I didn't say it. And after that, I felt bad. And I thought that, I understood that I did wrong. It was not right. I should have said it. And then I sat on the service bench in our wife, and a certain dear brother blessed. I kept the sermon and spoke very warmly and preached the forgiveness of all sins. And I sat in the bench and remembered the lock, and I believed. And I felt good, and I sat there in the bench that now, if I die, all my sins are forgiven, and I go to heaven. But if I live, this lock, it bothers me as long as I speak it to the brother, and it seems to me that I may not die, but I may live. And I decided that to live easier or to feel easier, I should go and talk to the brother. And then I thought that, oh, this is what confession is for. It is not for death, but for life. So the gift of confession is a gift of God, so that it would be easier for us to live as believers. If the sins are forgiven, and if I die, that won't bother me. But the gift of confession has been given so that if I live, it's easier to meet the brother. And I was so happy that never before or never after confession has been so easy that it was that easy. I was so thankful to God that He taught me in a very simple way what confession means. And I went to the certain brother, and I told him that, dear brother, when I sold you that car, I didn't tell of the lock of the door that it was broken, that I should have done that. And I feel so bad that can you forgive me? So he forgave gladly, even smilingly, and he said that
that I have found it.
And it says that the one who buys the car has also his own responsibility. So that which the enemy of the soul had said to me, that was again lie. Has the enemy of the soul ever told you anything else but lies? No. It's fire. I sometimes thought that it would be good to listen to the enemy of the soul, but to do opposite. Listen to him, but do contrary, and you do right. The enemy of the soul says it's not very wise to go to service these days, and you're so tired. Then remember that, hey, I seem to need services very much today. The enemy of the soul says the work of the kingdom of God is not very important. You have a lot of other things to do. Then remember that it's important to do the work of God. And when the enemy of the soul says to you, young believers, that the sin which is a part of your conscience is so big that no one will understand it, remember then that every believer will understand it. Or if the enemy of the soul says that the sin which is upon your conscience is so small that you shouldn't talk about it, then understand that it is so big that you have to put it away soon. The enemy of the soul has said to me that you always keep the same sermon. And I said to him that you too. He constantly keeps the same sermon. And he says that you don't make it to heaven. We are sinners. That's right. I am a sinner. I am weak and sinful. Sin so often attaches. We had young people in our home a few months ago, and I asked my own, you know, they're very familiar kids from our neighborhood. And they're teenagers, some 15, 17 years old. And I asked those kids, that do you really think that when we speak of sin, that's a kind of theory that in reality we don't fall into sin anymore. We are so old that sin doesn't attach us anymore. And how do you feel? They said that, yes, that's how we understand. I said, I'm sorry, but that's not true. You young brothers and sisters, I have been a young believer. I have entered where you are now. That was one reason why I wanted to speak in English this evening. Although I know that there were many who would have wanted to hear sermon in Finnish. But I wanted to speak in English so that also young believers could know that is truly what the speaker speaks and says and thinks and understands. I have been there where you are now. The views which you are looking and the sermon which the enemy of the soul is keeping to you is very familiar to me. I have been there. Your parents have been there. When they warn you, they know because they have burned their hands with sin. The power of sin is so big that without the help of God, we are all lost. Like Esau, we might think that it's all right with me. My matters are correct and my matters are right. As Paul said, when law awakened, did it say so? Did it say, I died when he didn't understand that he shouldn't sin. He didn't know what sin is. not to seek away the not Esau. He thought that he's ready to receive blessing. But there was just one blessing, and he could not receive it. He was rejected. And it does not mean that God does not want to bless or forgive. No, it does not mean that. But he didn't want to change his life. Repentance is a change of mind. Dear brothers and sisters, this evening who feel and understand that sin has attached my conscience, defiled my conscience, I'm a sinner. Listen to the word of God, which God has made us to speak. I've come here to forgive sins. That's the reason of our sermons. Believe your sins forgiven. In Jesus' name, and precious upon the blood. Dear brother, sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name, and precious upon the blood. Sins are forgiven. Sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name, and precious upon the blood. Sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name, and blood, believe. Sins forgiven. And you have a permission to believe. Even little boys and girls. That is the food for our souls. That we can believe sins forgiven. Believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. And that's not fear, that I am a big sinner before you. May I also plead my sins forgiven. I want to believe. By praying, by serving with the word, no one becomes saved, but by true faith, true believing. It's a big gift of God that we can believe. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.